Creating Change with Doug Foresta, a show dedicated to creativity and emotional healing. Creating Change on Empower Radio.
EmpowerRadio.com.
Here's your host, Doug Foresta.
Hello and welcome to Creating Change. This is Doug Foresta. Today I'm going to be talking about the evolution of your voice. And what I mean by that is, how do you allow for your authentic voice to change and grow over time? And make no mistake about it, it does take time for your voice to develop. I've said this before on other episodes, but when I first started in writing, when I first started doing playwriting and screenwriting, my first writing teacher said, it takes 7 years to find your voice. And I used to hate that quote because, you know, I thought, I don't have 7 years, because I was only 22 at the time. So little did I know that would only put me at 29. But the I don't necessarily know that it takes 7 years to begin to find your voice. I think many people can find their voice much more quickly. And when I say people, I also mean organizations as well. But at the same time, I think it's an ongoing evolution. It really is. And that's one of the things that I'm proud of in the work that I do with clients, is that we don't just find your voice once. We put your voice out there and see how that feels to you over time. And that's really a big part of this idea of the evolution of your voice. What I wanted to do is share with you the connection between, if we're talking about evolution, we're talking about change. And I wanted to share with you a little bit of the trans-theoretical model of change that I have used for years with clients. It is not my model by any stretch of the imagination. It belongs to two psychologists, Prochaska and DiClemente. And what they said was that what they came up with is this idea that change does not happen immediately, and it doesn't happen in one step, that there are stages of change that we have to go through. So I'm going to take you through today some of those stages of change and how they connect to the evolution of finding your voice, and how this is really it's not something that ends. You know, it's not a process where you say, okay, I did it and now I'm done. As long as we're alive, as long as we're on this planet and we're having experiences and we're growing and we're learning, the chances are that our voice will evolve. And actually, it's that very evolution of our voice that actually makes, I think that's really what is unique and most alive about us. So let's go through here and look at these stages of change. Now, I use these for years with people with addictions and anger issues. The first stage of change is pre-contemplation. And the quote here is, it isn't that we can't see the solution, it's that we can't see the problem. And pre-contemplation is what we used to call in therapy denial. And I'm sure you've heard the saying, denial is not a river in Egypt, right? And people in pre-contemplation often show up, for example, in therapy, they show up because they are pushed to do so by other people. So a lot of the people that I would work with when I used to do employee assistance programs, a lot of the people that I would work with would show up in therapy, not because they thought they had a problem, but because they were going to be fired from work if they didn't stop drinking. How does that connect to the evolution of your voice? Well, oftentimes when I speak to people, they are in a place where they might have some general inkling that they need to be doing something. They need to be maybe sharing on social media or writing a book or something like that, but they don't really see the urgency in sharing their voice. It's one of the lowest priorities. And in fact, in our busy day to day, oftentimes sharing our voice is the thing that gets pushed to the back burner, right? Because there's so many other things that need to get done. And so sharing our voice becomes something that we put off and we put off. So pre-contemplation is the idea that it's fine. I mean, the one that I love is, you know, people would come in, and I had this one company where a lot of the machine operators were having alcohol problems, which is not a good combination. They were making these really heavy metal chains. And unfortunately, a lot of the machine operators were getting caught and drinking on the job, which was very dangerous for themselves and others. And I would say to them, you know, what do you think about this? And they'd say, people are making too much of it, right? So pre-contemplation is a way of protecting ourselves from realizing that we have a problem. And likewise, in sharing our voice, pre-contemplation is basically the, it's good enough. You know, that's sort of how I think of it. Pre-contemplation is the voice that says, it's good enough. You know, why do you need to start a blog? Why do you need to start a podcast? Why do you need to write that book? It's good enough. It's fine. You know, you're a coach, you're a therapist, you're a nonprofit. Everything's going along. You're doing just well. You're doing just well enough. And the goal there in pre-contemplation, in terms of moving yourself along, is what I would do with clients and what the model talks about is you've got to get people to see that it's not about prodding people or pushing people, but it's about getting people to the place of contemplation, which is the next stage, that the thought of, well, maybe there is a problem or maybe there is a cost to doing nothing about this. And so what I would do when I was working with people with addictions, for example, I would say to them, what do you think about this? And they'd say, well, you know, my wife is, she's just nagging me. I mean, who wouldn't drink if they were, you know, if they were married to her? Everybody would be drinking if they had my life. And then I'd ask them, you know, is there anything that bothers you about your drinking? And they would say, no, you know, except for the fact that other people bother me about it. Otherwise, I'd be fine with it. And one of the things I would do sometimes is say, well, it sounds like there really isn't any problem. There's nothing that you would fix. And that would oftentimes get people to start thinking because they'd say, well, I wouldn't say that. And I say, well, tell me what you mean. So getting the other person to voice the reason for change. So then they say, well, you know, when I drink, I don't feel well. And I, you know, my friends get angry at me. And then they would start to realize, well, wait a minute, you know, maybe I do have a problem. Maybe this isn't really the bliss that I thought it was, you know, the saying ignorance is bliss. So I would ask you to think about that. You know, if you're in a place where you're saying to yourself, you know, I've got a website, but I don't, you know, I don't have a blog. I don't need one. I'm not putting out content on a regular basis. I'm not really sharing my voice in any consistent way, but hey, you know what? My business is running. Everything's going well. You know, our nonprofit, our organization is doing just fine. We don't need that stuff. I would ask you to think about that idea that, you know, well, it sounds like everything is working out just perfectly. And then you might say to yourself, well, you know, we're not as top of mind as maybe some other people would be. People don't necessarily know what we stand for. So that pre-contemplation is realizing, wait a minute, there is a pain point here. You know, we don't do anything as human beings unless we see a pain point, unless we see some reason why we should change. You know, we don't just do things just to do them. We do them because we realize that there's a reason to do them. The next stage is contemplation. And contemplation is maybe there is a problem, right? But what the mistake that we make in this, and this is often where I think therapists sometimes get frustrated and coaches get frustrated, is just because we see that there's a problem doesn't mean that we're ready to do anything about it. And in fact, in contemplation stage, the idea is just that, well, maybe, you know, there is a problem. I acknowledge there's a problem, but I'm not ready to necessarily do anything about it yet. And it's okay. You know, that is a stage to be in. So if you're in a place where you say to yourself, you know what, there is a problem. I really need to write a book. And I've been working on writing it for, you know, I've been thinking about writing it for 5 years and I haven't done anything about it. Right. Then that's where you are. You know, that's where you are. So the first step in that is to be where you are, because trying to force yourself into the next stage of change is only going to create more resistance. And so in contemplation, it's really about looking at the pros and cons of change. What are the pros of not writing a book? Well, the pros of not writing a book are that you won't have to be put out there in the world and you won't have rejection. Right? What are the cons of not writing a book? That, as Wayne Dyer said, you might die with the music still inside you. So, you know, you have to look at, if you're in that stage of contemplation, where you're thinking about maybe there is a problem, but there is a problem, but maybe I should do something about it. Maybe I shouldn't. I would encourage you to create a T-chart. Just create, take a piece of paper and put one horizontal, on the top of the page, put a horizontal line, and then put a line through the middle of it and write pros on one side and cons on the other. And then just write down the pros and cons of sharing your voice versus not sharing your voice, writing the book versus not writing the book. You know, as I say this, one of the things I need to do today is I'm working on a TEDx talk. And, you know, one of the things about that is I'm really I'm terrified of that. I've been procrastinating about doing this and putting it together. Well, why? Because I'm going to have to then, if I do that and I submit it, that means I'm going to be actually putting my TEDx talk out into the world. And that's scary. You know, that is a scary thing to do. So I get it. You know, I get why we sit in a place of maybe I should, maybe I shouldn't. But that's a great way, if you're in contemplation, to really think about, here are the pros of change. And actually, you can do four different ways of doing this if you want. One is look at what are the costs of changing, right? So if I change, then I could be rejected. If I put out a blog, I could be rejected. What are the costs of not changing, right? So if I don't put out a blog, if I don't put out a podcast, I won't be able to share my voice. The third one then would be what are the costs of changing, right? And again, those costs of changing could be that I'll be rejected. And then what are the pros of changing, right? And what are some of the pros of changing? Well, if you put a blog out there, if you put a podcast out there, you could change people's lives. Just yesterday I was talking to a woman in the UK, and it was to book her on a podcast that I produce, another podcast. And I'm not the host of that podcast. I'm completely behind the scenes. And we were talking and she said, yeah, you know, I was born in London. I was raised in London. And she said, you know, I didn't even know that you produced this podcast, but I've been listening to your podcast for the last couple of years. She said, you know, when I take my walk through London, I listen to your podcast. And I thought, wow, that is really amazing. You know, I mean, I don't often meet the people, you know, I don't often meet you, you, the listener, who are listening to this. And so, you know, to think about that is pretty amazing. And so again, you know, it's the idea that you never know where your voice can go. So that's the pro of changing, the pros of changing, right? There is an upside to changing as well, even though oftentimes we only think about the negative or downside of change. The next stage is preparation, which is getting ready to do something. And the idea of getting ready to do something, again, is not the same as doing something. And the way I like to think of this when I talk to my students, I teach counseling. And when I talk to my students about the idea of not getting frustrated with clients because they're not doing what you want them to do, even though they say, okay, I'm getting ready to lose weight. And the way I think of it is if you said to someone, or let's see if you can relate to this, you know, say, I got to go to the gym. And then your roommate or your husband or your wife or whoever says, okay, you know, let's get in the car. Let's go to the gym. I have a guest pass. Let's go right now. And you go, whoa, whoa, whoa. I'm not ready to do that. I'm not, you know, I said, I need to go to the gym. I didn't say I needed to go to the gym today. So preparation is a place where I know that I need to get ready for change. And we have to, again, allow ourselves to go through these stages in order to get to the place where we're ready to put ourselves out in the world. And by the way, one of the things that I want to share with you is, obviously, I mean, I've been doing this podcast for years. I put out lots of stuff in the world, but that's podcasts, right? I haven't done a TEDx talk. So even though, let's say, we are comfortable sharing our voice in one venue, it doesn't mean that we won't have to go through these stages of change if we do something different. You know, if I were to write a new book, if I were to, you know, anything new that I was to do that I don't already do, there's a good chance that I would need to go through these stages of change, or that I would go through them in some way. So getting ready to change, right? You're not ready to go to the gym and get in the car and go to the gym, but maybe you're ready to get online and look at what it would take. You know, what are the gyms in my area? How much do they cost? So what does that look like in terms of your voice? Well, it looks like thinking about what are the best ways for me to share my voice? What am I most comfortable with? What kinds of content do I like to look at? So do I love blogs? Do I love podcasts? Do I love video? Do I love live streams? There's so many ways now to share your voice that really there is no excuse to not find something that's compelling to you. But remember, in preparation, the nice part about it is you don't need to actually do the thing yet. So that should take some of the scariness away from it, in the sense of all you have to do at this stage is just look at what are my options and let yourself be in that place. You know, collect information. This is like a data gathering. Data gathering phase. You just have to gather data and look at what do I think would be the best way for me to share my voice. You know, some places that I would recommend to look at are Copyblogger, any of the Copyblogger stuff, and look at their articles about sharing sharing content. I highly recommend that's a great place. But also go to, you know, if you have, for example, if you have friends or there's other organizations that do similar work that you do, look at what types of content they put out. You know, what are they doing on Facebook? What are they doing on, you know, did they have a YouTube channel, and see what looks compelling to you. And you say, oh yeah, you know what? That looks like something that I'd want to do. So just put all that information together and start writing it down, but let yourself be in that place of preparation. And then that moves us to action. You know, that's the place where it moves us to action. And that's the place where everyone sees, they see us moving and they say, wow, you know, you must be a real go-getter. You're an action taker. But they don't see the process that you went through before, you know, and I know for that's true for me in my life. You know, I went through, I can't do this. I'm not going to do this. As you know, if you're listening to the show, you know, I've recently gone through an evolution in the show and changing my own voice and changing the direction of the show and dealing with that. And I went through all these stages to get to that place. And like I said, I continue to go through that as I think about putting out other forms of content. You know, I still go through these stages because it's scary to do. And so think about the action stage is this is where you actually do it. This is where you put the stuff out in the world, right? That's what I'm doing right now with this podcast. And if you're in that place, you're ready to take action. You know, the first thing I would say is make sure you actually are ready to take action and to be consistent with it, because you're not going to evolve your voice unless you're consistently sharing content. People ask me this question all the time, which is, you know, Doug, how do I find more content to put out? Like if I start a podcast or I start a blog, what am I going to write about? What am I going to talk about? And the answer is you talk about your life. You talk about what's going on in your life now. You talk about how you see the world. You're never going to run out of content, because content and your voice is, you're not going to run out of your voice. You know, it's not going to happen, because your voice is simply the way that you see the world. It's your point of view on things, and you can't run out of your point of view. It's just not going to happen. So asking yourself that question about how do I see the world? What is my unique point of view? And the hard part here is that you have to let yourself, when you start, you know, when you first start sharing and you first start putting stuff out there, you have to realize that I always say to people, the 10th podcast is going to be better than the first. The 20th is going to be better than the 10th. But you can't get to, in terms of the creative process, you can't get to number 10 without going through 1 through 9. And this is just part of being a human being. I used to do early on in my online career, I used to do some creativity coaching. I studied creativity coaching with Eric Mizell, who, by the way, is a fantastic creativity coach. If you ever want to study creativity coaching or learn more about it, Eric Mizell is really great. It's M-A-I-S-E-L. He has some really good books on creativity coaching as well. And you know, one of the things that he talks about is this idea that you can't cheat the process. You've got to go through it. And a lot of times we want our voice to come out fully formed, fully baked. And I know in my experience, coaching and teaching people and working with stories as a theater teacher for over 25 years, it most of the time does not work that way. Every once in a while, you find someone who's really a prodigy who comes out with their voice, you know, really fully formed immediately. But for the most part, that is not what happens. For the most part, what ends up happening is it takes time. You know, it just takes time. In the book Acrobat of the Heart, Andre Gregory talks about this idea that time is one of the most important pieces in becoming an artist. You know, and when we're talking about sharing your voice, we are talking about artistry. We're talking about taking your essence, what your authentic truth, the way that you see the world, and expressing it in a way that's unique and different. And we all have a unique point of view, but expressing it in a way that's unique and different can take some time. And the other piece about this is that when we're in this action phase, you know, one of the things about the stages of change is that I think people see it as this kind of static process in a way, or a linear process. You know, I go through A, B, C, D, and then I'm done, right? I got to action. The last part is maintenance. And some people add relapse, which I really like because relapse is where you stop doing the podcast, you stop doing the blog, you fall off the wagon. but then you get back up again and you do it again. In my experience, that's pretty realistic of what happens. You know, we don't often, a lot of times we get frustrated with ourselves. We stop, but that's okay. You know, it's okay. If you stop, you get back up again. You know, you remember why you're doing this in the first place. And, you know, I think of it more as a circle, you know, that the stages of change is more like a circle than a linear process. And we're constantly going through these stages. We're going through this evolution all the time. And then one of the things that's really hard is, you might have heard of the book, When You Meet the Buddha, If You Meet the Buddha in the Road, Kill Him. And in a way, one of the things that often happens when I work with clients is that we get to a place where the podcast is going great, the video is going great, whatever the content is, it's going well. And then they say to me, you know what, Doug, this just doesn't match my voice anymore. And as I said, this is what happened for me on Creating Change. You know, I was talking about a lot of self-help, a variety of self-help topics related to being a therapist. And all of a sudden, you know, I'm really working specifically with organizations and people on honing their voice and starting podcasts. And I'm not really doing that self-help work anymore. And to be able to then say, okay, what do I need to do? It's hard when you've built something up to step back and destroy it, you know, and I don't mean destroy it like in some way that's malicious or just to blow something up for the purpose of blowing it up. But sometimes, you know, you might have a platform that's actually built up and you've taken years to do it. And we'll talk more about this in another episode. I think it's worth its own episode just to talk about this idea of what happens when you get to a place where you have a large following and people are following you for one thing, but you don't want to do that thing anymore. And it's a tough, I mean, it is worthy of its own podcast, and I will do podcasts just on that, but it's difficult. You know, it's difficult to have the courage to say, you know what, I need to evolve my voice. I'm going to do something different. And I want to challenge you, if you are in a place in your life where what you're sharing, what you're talking about isn't in full alignment with your deepest truth, it isn't really the thing that excites you the most, that really is the thing that you most need to say, I challenge you to come up with and think about what is it that you really do need to say. And then you might need to go back through this because through these stages of change, because you're going to hear that voice that says, no, it's fine. It's good enough. Share the stuff that you're already doing. You're doing great stuff in the world. That sounds like pre-contemplation, right? And then you start to say to yourself, well, maybe, you know, there is a cost to not really sharing the stuff that I most need to share. You know, there's a cost to really not doing the stuff that is that I'm really most passionate about. Yeah, and there is a cost to that, by the way. You know, sharing our voice doesn't just mean that we're going through the motions. It's the evolution of our voice is the evolution of us as human beings, right? I mean, I don't know about you, but when we're constantly learning and growing in 5 years, right? When you start off doing something and you start off talking about anything, and then 5 years later, you're probably in a very different place. And whether you know it or not, you have evolved your voice. And sometimes we've evolved ourselves out of the very topic that we started with in the first place. But again, what's interesting and to me about, and this is worthy again of its own podcast, is just that the doing of the thing is really what matters. And that's what I've come to most, is that the purpose of life is to evolve our souls. You know, the purpose of life is to evolve ourselves to our highest good and highest potential. But we're constantly changing. It's not a static process. We can stop ourselves at any one point and say, this is me. But as soon as you do that, that fixed point is gone. You know, it's gone, it's over, and it's done. And so I think that a large part of voice, the very idea of flux and change, is part of our voice. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't have a unique point of view. You've heard me talk about that on this show, that you need to have a clear point of view, that you need to guide everything through that point of view. But your point of view, who you are, the essence of who you are, and this is kind of contradictory because I'm saying on the one hand, there's no fixed point, but I do think that there is a lens through which we see the world, a perception filter through which we see the world that in some ways does not change, and yet we are always changing. And that's an interesting paradox, you know, that we're, on the one hand, we do have an essence and we do have this point of view. And on the other hand, we are creatures who are constantly changing. And embracing that paradox and embracing change is a big part of evolving our voice. So what I would encourage you to do is, as we wrap up here today, I would encourage you to look at, first of all, are you sharing your voice? Are you actually consistently putting out content in the world? Are you putting out blogs? Are you putting out podcasts? Are you putting out videos? Are you doing something so that someone in another continent, you know, you can make a difference in their lives? And if you're not, ask yourself the question, why? Why am I not doing that? What's holding me back? What beliefs am I telling myself? What story am I telling myself that is holding me back from doing that? And as you do that, as you write that out, you can look at the costs of making that change, the pros of making that change, right? And everything that we discussed. And then I would also ask you to think about, if you have been putting out content on a regular basis, does it still speak to you? Is that really what you most need to say? Or do you need to evolve that? And I give you permission here today, not just permission, but I really urge and encourage you to allow yourself to evolve, because that evolution, I believe, is really the whole point of why we're here as human beings. So thank you so much. Thanks for taking this journey with me as I evolve this show. And if there's something that you'd like me to address, please email me at dougforesta@gmail.com, dougforesta@gmail.com. Thanks so much for listening. Keep creating. The world needs your voice. Take care, everyone. This is Doug Foresta at Creating Change.